The reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9, and can be found on page 10 near the very beginning of the Bibles under the seat in front of you. That's Genesis 12, verses 1 to 9 on page 10. Following on from his ancestors, the narrative takes up the story of Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages towards the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Old Testament section, Genesis chapter 12. We're going to be looking this morning at the first three verses together, and we've got lots of work to do, so why don't I pray for us, and then we will jump into this glorious passage together. Lord, you have blessed us in so many ways, and we pray that you would bless us now as we hear your word, as it rains down upon us. Would you bring forth growth that we might praise your name and that we might bless the people of your world. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Christopher Hitchens has written a book called God Is Not Great, with a subtitle, How Religion Poisons Everything. I guess you would say he's not a friend of Christianity. In fact, he argues that Christianity isn't good for the world at all, and he's declared war on religion in general, and his personal mission is to destroy biblical religion. But I think we'll find that this passage we're looking at this morning will show us that biblical religion is the ultimate hope for the world. Because biblical religion is about God's determination to bless his world. And we can see that immediately as we look at these three verses, because in just three verses, five times, we're told that God blesses. It emphasizes that God is the great blesser. If we went back to Genesis 1 and verse 28, we would see that when God created the world, he blessed his world and said this, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over every living thing." And so from that, we can come up with a definition of what blessing is. Blessing is about God giving the power for life, the enhancement of life and the increase of life. Blessing is God's intention for the world to give them the power, enhancement, and increase of life. But rather perversely, mankind has resolved to bring the opposite of what God intends, not blessing, but curse. Chapter 3, verse 14, 3, verse 17, 4, verse 11, 5, verse 29, and 9, verse 25, five times we're told that man's sin brings curse on the world, the opposite of blessing, death, destruction, and decay. Five times. And so God says five times, no, I am determined to bless my world. And what we see here is that God blesses individuals. And first of all, a man, an individual called Abraham. And that's our first point. God blesses individuals. And have a look down at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. What kind of people do you think that God blesses? Well, the answer is sinners. Abraham grew up in a place called Ur. It's in modern-day Iraq. And in the 1920s and 30s, the British Museum spent some money. They sent somebody over there to dig up Ur and sort of to excavate it. And what they discovered was that Ur was dedicated to the moon god Nana. Now, Nana has a different name, and the other name for Nana is Sin. Now, it strikes me pretty obvious. If you end up worshipping a god called Sin, you know that you've made a wrong turn somewhere. And Joshua 24 confirms to us that Abraham and his dad, Terah, served other gods. In other words, Abraham was a sinful, pagan idolater. And yet, God blesses him. I think that's fantastic news because it means that there's hope for all of us. Whether we're respectable idolaters who worship holidays and homes and children, or unrespectable idolaters who worship porn and alcohol, there is hope for us all. Because if we believe in Jesus Christ, then we receive God's personal blessing along with Abraham, the man of faith. So God just sort of shows up. Abraham hasn't invited him. He doesn't deserve to have God show up. But God, out of his goodness, just shows up. We're not told what Abraham's up to. Maybe he's fixing the oxen or washing his camel. Maybe he's polishing his statue of Nana. But God shows up and speaks to him. You remember in the creation, God spoke and the cosmos came into existence. And here God shows up and speaks, and he creates a nation through Abraham, and then he actually creates a new creation, which we're going to come on to. But listen to what God says. It's there again in verse 1. What is his first word? Go. There's no chit-chat at this point, is it? It's not, hi, Abraham, I'm the Lord. Nice to meet you. I hope you're really enjoying my world that I created for you. No. There's absolutely no relationship building whatsoever. It's a little bit like when I ring up and we speak to our dads on the telephone. They sort of say, how's the car? And you go, fine, car's fine. They go, great. I'll go and pass you over to your mother then. So, no relationship building at all. It's just go, isn't it? God says, look, Pickfords are coming round in an hour. Pack your stuff up. Say goodbye to your friends and family who aren't going. Make sure you bring your passport, because we're going to a different country. And I'll tell you where later on, so you won't need a map or anything like that. Well, God comes to this pagan idolater. He intervenes in his life and he says, we're going on a journey. And you know what? He says, I'm going to bless you to the heavens. Abraham, all you need to do is to obey me. It's very interesting that God doesn't airlift him out of this godless city of Ur and sort of take him to a monastery to be a monk or something like that. He actually takes him to a place called Shechem, which is in Canaan, which, if anything, is worse than Ur. God doesn't call his people to come out of the world, but to stay in the world, to bless the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the most perfect man who ever walked this earth. And in no respect, in dress or anything external, did he separate himself from sinners. Jesus ate and drank as they did. He sat at their tables. He slept at their houses. He talked with them by the roadside. And yet he remained holy, undefiled, and separate from sinners. God calls us believers to live in that way. God frequently chooses to bless people through their obedience. And we read in verse 4, so Abraham went. Now, Abraham wasn't perfect. Don't get this wrong. In fact, in the very next story, perhaps to just underline this, we read that Abraham actually falls into sin. But nonetheless, God brings blessing through Abraham's obedience. So whereas Adam's disobedience led to a world of sin and curse, Abraham's obedience leads to a world of blessing. What precisely does this blessing entail? Nothing less than a reversal of the curse and the fall, and nothing less than a new creation, a new world. Now, the reason I say new world isn't just because seven things are promised to Abraham, perhaps an echo of Genesis 1. And it's not just because scholars think that Eden was probably in the middle of Canaan somewhere. No, it's actually because these promises to Abraham reflect and are promises to reverse the curse. So what happened at the curse? Well, Adam and Eve were thrown out of the land of Eden. And so what does God promise? To take Abraham to a new land. Their relationship was ruined in Eden. God had asked them to go fill the earth and subdue it. But there's no way they could have done that any longer because their relationship was ruined. But God says to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation to make this possible. In Genesis 1 to 3, well, God's presence, his blessing, was removed, not totally, but it was restricted to Adam and Eve. And God says here, I will bless you. Shame came on Adam and Eve. God promises a great name. Now, it seems to me that this promise is like every rapper's dream. So, land, that's like a massive estate. Great nation, that's your posse. Blessing, it's your bling. Great name, that's respect. And if anyone cusses, they'll be cussed. Now, now make the land the whole world. Make the great nation people from every tribe and language and tongue. make the blessing eternal honours, and make the great name the name above all names. And we see that Jesus Christ inherits the blessing and the promises to Abraham, the one perfectly obedient man. Death came to the world through the disobedience of Adam. Life and blessing comes to the world through the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ, who inherits all of the promises to Abraham. And those of us who believe in Christ, who are in Christ, well, we also inherit those blessings. Paul says in the letter to the Galatians, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. In Christ, we have every spiritual blessing. We can feel the touch of God's hand upon our head, blessing us in so many ways. As we look back to the cross and we see the self-substitute of the Saviour in our place. As we think of Pentecost, where God poured out his Holy Spirit for us to fill us with joy and boldness. And we can think about it in our own lives as well, specifically the great blessing of forgiveness. That we're forgiven. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The great fellowship that we have, brothers and sisters who love us. God's word, which I hope we're holding before us right now. God's great blessing. He speaks to us today through his word. His bread and even his wine, which we share together. Many blessings. And there are a whole host of other ones as well, aren't there? We sometimes call them the small blessings in our life, the day-to-day things where God answers our prayers. But actually, they feel like great, great blessings to us. The thing is, we haven't even come into our full inheritance at the moment. We're like that schoolboy who's living off the trust. He's desperate to turn 18 until the trust comes into his full possession. And one day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, we who are in Christ will come into the full possession. We'll be free from sin and suffering and pain and death. And even now, as we've been praying and singing already today, our present sufferings are just like ugly wrapping paper. We don't know why the wrapping paper sometimes is so ugly, but we know that the blessing inside is great nonetheless. God is a blesser. He blessed Abraham 4,000 years ago, and he blesses people like us today. Well, God blesses individuals. Secondly, he blesses through individuals. Now, Hitchens might respond, exactly. You Christians teach that God blesses individuals, and that makes you sort of feel superior to everyone else, and so therefore you oppress everybody else. And if you look at your history, it's full of violence. Religion poisons everything. But verse 2 shows us why God blesses individuals. Have a look at verse 2. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. In other words, God blesses individuals so they will bless others. Some people hate the idea of election. You know, the idea that God chooses certain people, that he chose Abraham. Because they want to say, well, what about everybody else? But election is precisely for everyone else. Nonetheless, notice that individual blessing must come first. We can't be a blessing to others unless we have been blessed ourselves. Now, we don't encourage selfishness in anything. But unless we have money in the bank account, we can't give. Unless we have food in the fridge, we can't feed the hungry. See, the way that God blesses his world is as he blesses individuals. We've already seen, haven't we, that there's one individual in particular that God blesses, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. God determined to bless his world right from before the beginning. And then he commanded Adam and Eve to spread out and to spread God's blessing across the whole world. We know what happened, though, and the story of the world east of Eden is a story of escalating sin and curse. Well, God tries to wash up the world by sending a flood. But sadly, sin survived the trip in the ark. And then sinful humanity gathers together, it unites to build the Tower of Babel. It's a really stupid plan, because it goes right against God's plan to spread out his people, to bless the world. And so God graciously intervenes at this point and engages his own plan. He calls Abraham, one man, and through a process of blessing and cursing, promises to bless all the families of the earth. It's in verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses, I will curse. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, you look at that word curse there and you think, Kevin's been saying that God is a blesser. What about the curse? Well, actually, if we look at the original, the Hebrew, we can see actually that if you like, cursing is God's strange work. What the original actually says is, God says, I will bless. He's determined to bless his world. But there's a subtle difference where God says, I shall curse. He's decided to curse, but it's his strange work. In addition to that, those whom God will bless, it's a plural there. Whereas it's singular where we're talking about those whom God will curse, which suggests that there's going to be broad blessing and narrow cursing. Cursing is God's strange work because God is a blesser. Nevertheless, those who despise Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ and his church, will suffer God's curse. And yet, if we bless God's people, even by giving them a cup of water, says in the Bible, just because they follow Jesus, then God will pour out his blessings upon us. History, right from the beginning to the end, is about God's desire to bless his world. The weeds of sin grew up around our necks, but God has beaten a path of grace in Jesus Christ. We can see this process of blessing if we carry on reading through Genesis in Abraham's life. As he meets the world, Canaanites, Egyptians, Ammonites, Moabites, blessing and curse. We see it through the life of his son, Isaac, and through the life of his son, Jacob. And we see it supremely in the life of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus was hung on that cross, he was cursed by God so that he could be a blessing to us. People around him cursed him. And he said, Father, forgive them. The cross is God's ultimate blessing for the world. It's the answer to the curse. It will eventually lead to the end of all violence and the unity of all nations who submit to the Lord Jesus. Hitchens argues that religion often produces violence. He's got a fair point, I think, if you look at the history of religion. But religion is not biblical religion. Biblical religion mandates blessing and not violence. It brings unity and not division. And we can see that across the world. We can see it here this morning. People who wouldn't otherwise get on meet together in church, bound together by the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. I spent some time with a man this week. He's twice my age. I think it's fair to say that we don't see eye to eye on everything when we're thinking about the Bible. But God has enabled us to care deeply about one another. Without the cross of Christ, that wouldn't have been the case. You've all got your own stories of where you've seen that happen if you're a believer in Christ. Well, the application of this passage is very clear. Be blessed, then be a blessing. If you're not a Christian here this morning, then God desires to bless you. And blessing comes from Jesus, not apart from Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God promises you eternal life. God promises that you will be part of his plan to bless the entire world. If you are a Christian, please be encouraged that God is at work in his world. He has a plan. But be challenged as well, because God wants us to be involved. God has blessed you so that you will be a blessing to others. Life's about being generous. It's about how much we give, not about how much we get. So if God has put money into our bank accounts, it's because he wants us to bless others. I recently heard about a millionaire whose ambition it is to give away all of his money. I'm not going to give you his phone number. But his ambition is that the last check he writes will bounce, because he's given away everything. He's been blessed by God, and he wants to be a blessing. If God has blessed you with health and energy, he's done it for a purpose, so that you will bless others and serve them. You're blessed so that you can be a blessing. The goal of the Christian life isn't to get, but to give, not to gather, but to go, not to be a burden, but to be a blessing. Jesus Christ himself went about doing good to all sorts of people. And certainly in our own families, we who love the Lord Jesus Christ should be, as one preacher said, the brightest eyes and the most cheerful countenances. Surely if you and I are to be a blessing to others, then we need to bring Jesus to people in our everyday conversations. Is Christianity good for the world? Well, God has determined that through Jesus, that through those who trust in Jesus Christ, the answer is an emphatic yes. Yes, God is the great blesser. And so may we all receive the blessing of Jesus Christ and be a blessing to others. Amen.